People kept trying to tell me all those years that Cheryl was probably dead, that I should probably start to move on. But I wouldn't. I kept telling everyone, I have to keep hope until I know. But then I got the call. The officer said, "We found your daughter." And I thought he meant her body.
I have never seen a human being born and raised in the United States show evidence of this kind of torture. She had been burned, cut. She had 5 teeth removed by pliers or a hammer. She had multiple broken bones. Not only that, none of them have been allowed to heal. Some have been further aggravated by some sort of a tightening apparatus. She had also been extremely malnourished, and her organs were in a really bad shape as a result. There also was severe sexual torture, including things like electrocution of genitals and things that are too horrible to say out loud.
Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy D, and you are listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And on today's horror movie breakdown, Dusty is going to be breaking down probably what he says is the number one fucking serial killer movie that he has ever seen. It's a good fucking movie, and boy did he enjoy it. I also enjoyed it. I was sitting there with him, okay? I thought it was fairly good. Actually, not fairly, I thought it was really good. The best? Maybe. Debatable. But it was still really, really good. So, without further ado, I am going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty Megballs, aka the Certified Cougar Hunter, and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful little intro. And yes, like he said, we are doing the Poughkeepsie. I think that's how you say it. I just watched the movie and I can't fucking pronounce the name. We're watching the Poughkeepsie. We're watching the Poughkeepsie tapes. I think that's how you say it. This movie is probably one of my favorite horror movies so far. It is definitely in the top five. Okay, doesn't beat X, but it is up there. This movie is absolutely terrifying. Not like oh my god, this is absolutely scary type shit. But this movie, it gets so close to being realistic that it's scary. It really is. But we will get into my thoughts here in a little bit, okay? Like the rundown, how we usually do it on this channel. First, the synopsis, or the synop as it is known in the biz. Then we go through the actors and actresses who produced it, who made it, who is the director of it. Like all of the shit that goes with this movie. And then we get to my thoughts. And then we get into the inspiration behind this little film. And then we are saving the last thing. Well, our favorite last thing for this episode. And that's the Rotten Tomato reviews. So, without further ado, let's get into this movie. Okay, let's talk about the Poughkeepsie tapes. So, the intro, not the intro, the synopsis or the synop for this movie is hundreds of videotapes of torture, murder, and dismemberment show a killer's decade-long reign of terror. Rating R for graphic descriptions, terror, sadistic violence, and torture. Genre, horror, mystery, and thriller. Original language, English. Director, John Eric Doddle. Writer, Drew Doddle. And John Eric Doddle. Release date, streaming, January 2nd, 2020. Run time, 1 hour and 26 minutes. Production company, Brothers Doddle Production and the Poughkeepsie Films. Actors, Stacy Shabosky. She plays Cheryl Dempsey. Ben Messmer plays Ed. Samantha Robinson. Robson plays Samantha. Ivar Brager plays Leonard Shway. Lou George plays Felton Lewis. Amy Linden plays Alice Eindrazart. Now this movie, people, like I said earlier, I gotta take a drink here. Hold on a second. I got some Gatorade this time. I got that, what is it? Yeah, it's Gatorade. It is the Glacier Freeze. Okay, I love Gatorade. I think it's so good. It is, I don't know, it's refreshing in a way, right? I think it's better than Prime. Don't get me wrong, I like Prime, but it's, Gatorade is just so much better. Personally, my favorite flavor is the white cherry, the white looking one, okay? The one that looks like cum. That is my favorite one, okay? Not because it resembles cum, but like it just tastes so fucking good. It does. But yes, back to what I think on this movie. I love it. I really do. I think it is probably the best serial killer film that I've ever seen. It's just like they follow a documentary style with this film. I would explain it similar to this. The filming style is very, very similar to Hell House. And if you like, for me, I wasn't a found footage kind of guy, but I got used to it, okay? It used to make me nauseous watching these kind of films. It did. But after I started watching a few and watching them some more, it turned out like, hey, these are actually really, really good and I actually kind of like this style, right? This movie is shot like that. And it is, like I said in the intro, it is terrifying. It really is. Like, to think of what some of these people have had to go through, like real life victims. Like there's a girl that gets kidnapped, the first one in the beginning, the first like tape that you see, she gets kidnapped, and it is like gut-wrenching to watch this poor little girl getting kidnapped, knowing that there are thousands, and if not hundreds of thousands of kids that have had this similar fate. And it kind of makes you sad a little bit that these grown-ass men and women would go out of their way and try to kidnap just an innocent little kid, a kid that just is trying to live life and have fun, right? It hurt my heart watching that happen. And not to mention all of the women that this killer kidnaps throughout this movie. It's just like, it sucks to see that they actually have to, like, this is what people go through, right? Like, let's take Jeffrey Dahmer for a second, right? Kills people, drugs them, kills them, and dismembers them. This, like, I know in the Jeffrey Dahmer tapes and the Jeffrey Dahmer series on Netflix, this, they shied away from the gore. That's what they usually do, okay? They shy away from the gore, which is totally okay. Not a whole lot of people can, like, stomach that, and especially when it is, like, Jeffrey Dahmer, right? You know, there are some true crime people out there that don't want to see the gore and everything like that. So, this one completely ignored that. At one point, you see the killer with the handsaw chopping off a girl's head, and then he moves on to the arms and stuff like that. You see complete dismemberment within this movie, and that's why I liked it. I'm not the whole, like, gore and blood and stuff like that, but because they succeeded at making it as realistic as possible. The only thing that they were missing was using actual, like, bodies. That was the only thing that they were missing to make it, like, actually real. And it wasn't just one scene. It's just, like, this killer, this serial killer. I forgot his name. I forgot what they call him. It's like the something River Butcher. It's not the Green River Butcher, I don't think, because that's an actual serial killer, I believe, over in Oregon or Washington. It was one of the two, but it's a similar name to that. And, like, he doesn't, like, it, this is going to be weird, but it reminded me a lot of Ed Kemper watching this film. And I'll tell you why, because Ed was such, like, a down-to-earth guy, and, like, the way that this guy did his killings, like, he would, sometimes he murdered, well, not, yeah, sometimes, it was, like, two instances where he murdered a couple, and there were some instances where he got in the back of a couple's car, or got in the back of a person's car and killed them. And one specific scene that reminded me a lot about Ed Kemper in this film was because this killer goes up and picks up this girl from, like, her car broke down on the side of the road. And you don't really get to a whole lot because, like I said, you see a lot of the tape reels in this movie of what was shot and everything. And then they interview, like, the FBI and the people that were allegedly in on this fake case. Quote, unquote, fake case. Well, it is a fake case, but we'll come back to that in a second. And you see this guy, or you see this guy pick up the killer, pick up the woman, and she's from the UK, you can tell by the accent. And he says, hey, get in the back of the car. He's like, there's stuff up here. It's just, there's not a lot of room for you. So just, hey, hop in the back of the car and I'll drive you to the nearest gas station, right? And before she gets in the car, she's like, you're not afraid that, you know, the butcher's out here. You're not afraid that he's going to come pick you up. And she goes, no, he only picks up and kills prostitutes. And he's like, you're right. So she gets in the back seat of the cop car, this fake cop car. And she starts driving. They have a little bit of a conversation, but nothing much. Because you can tell the killer's trying to keep it, like, you know, subtle about what he's doing. He's not really saying much. He doesn't, you know, want to weird her out, right? And at one point, he says, I'm the butcher. He's like, I'm going to kill you. I feel bad. Like, I feel bad that you're going to be alive and what I'm going to put you through. He's like, you're going to want to be dead for this, right? And that made me remind of Ed Kemper, because one time when he picked up that girl that I forgot what she might have been Asian. Now, don't quote me on it, but I think she was Asian. It was the ballet victim that Ed Kemper had. And I think she was Asian. That could be completely wrong. I don't know. I can't really remember. But for some reason, I feel like she was Asian. So he picks her up, right? And remember how he locked himself out of the car? No, sorry. Let me backtrack. It wasn't her. It was a different victim. It was a different victim where the ladies in the car that Ed Kemper had picked up, I think they were the college students that his mom where his mom worked. I think it was those college students. And remember, they were talking about, you know, the co-ed killer, Ed Kemper, and they didn't realize that Ed Kemper was in the fucking car. That's what it reminded me of, watching that scene. This movie reminded me a lot of Ed Kemper. And when he picks up that UK girl and brings her back to the house where he's going to eventually kill her, I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was floating around on the internet for a little bit, okay? Especially on Instagram, because I saw it, and when this scene popped up, I was like, this looks really, really familiar, and it clicked as I saw him around the corner. Now, I'm going to try and paint the scene as best I can. It's the scene that he was walking on all fours, standing up, but like he was hunched over walking on all fours, and he had that, like, not really that masquerade mask, it was like those white masks that just had the little eye holes and then the little slit mouth, the really, really creepy ones that you can buy at like Party City for like a dollar. It was one of those masks. And then under that, he had like the plague doctor mask, right? He had like the white mask on top of his head. And as he was walking, you know, it was really, really fucking creepy. Really, really creepy. Like, this scene, I think, is probably one of the creepiest scenes I have ever fucking scene in a very long time, at least in a very long time. I don't know ever, but in a very long time. And so he walks up to this girl, and all you see is the camera that's like pinned on her face, and she's crying, tape over the mouth, not like duct tape, but scotch tape over the mouth. And he's crawling up, and he keeps crawling, 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 and then he disappears behind her because he got so close. And then he peeks up over her shoulder and he inserts like these three needles, I guess. Needles isn't the right word because they weren't like hospital needles or like when you get a shot. It wasn't those needles. It was like these weird pins, I guess. Like if you took a bobby pin and sharpened it down and like put it in a ring and wrapped it around your finger, that's what it kind of looked like. And he just injects three of them into her jugular vein. That scene, that exact scene, you'll have to look it up, but that exact scene was floating around on the internet, and I thought it was the most terrifying fucking thing ever. And I finally found the movie that was a part of. But this movie is fucking beautiful. It is amazing. Like, it is a true documentary. And I'm not going to give away the ending, because the ending is crazy. I will say, they don't find the killer, okay? They don't. It's one of those movies where they don't find the killer, and I actually love that about this movie. But the ending is a little crazy with one of his victims. Not going to say anything else about it. It's crazy. I liked it personally, but yeah, it's insane. Another really dope thing about this movie is the tapes that you are watching that's in the police custody. So let me backtrack a little bit just to make this more make sense. This movie, you are seeing it from the eyes of the dude that is making this documentary. So all of these tapes are coming from the police, and they are, you know, showing this, what is it? This documentary filmer, this filmmaker, documentary, whatever, they are showing him the tapes in front of him and stuff like that, and they are talking about the tapes to him. So that's what it's kind of like. It's basically like if you're watching any other normal true crime documentary. But in these tapes, it's interesting, and I kind of picked up on it right away. I don't know if this was intentional or if it was accidental, but the camera that this guy films everything from, when he like kidnaps the people or when he has these weird encounters with people, and some of them do escape, not gonna lie. Not like, I wouldn't say like they knew he was the killer, but he was acting weird and then like, okay, I'm gonna head out. And he's like, okay, cool, I gotta go handle some other business. Specifically at one point where two Girl Scouts come in, and then he invites them in, gives them something to drink. I can't remember if it was like pop or if it was water, but it looked like it was pop. And so He lets them drink it. He's talking to them and stuff like that. Next thing you know, there's some screaming in the basement. And they're like, what was that noise? He's like, oh, it's just the TV's on downstairs. You know, some bullshit like that. And so he ends up saying, oh, sorry, I have to go handle something. You know, it's a damn raccoon down there also with the TV going on. Yes, he literally says that. And then he goes, you know, escorts the girls out. And I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to spoil what happens next because it's a little bit of like a, whoa, what the fuck? Right? It makes your head kind of twist a little bit. Because let's just say he lifts something up. So in front of the girls, there's a little coffee table. And he lifts up the thing and there is something under the coffee table. I'm not going to say what. But it's fucking crazy. It's really fucking crazy. And sorry, back to the VHS tapes, right? I noticed in the beginning, and it kind of did it a little bit throughout the middle and the ending of the film, but I noticed it a lot in the beginning. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but these tapes that he filmed with his camera, they'll cut from like a really gravelly kind of like, what is it? Pixelated black and white, like film-ish, like video. And then sometimes it'll like slowly switch into like actual color and it'll go back and forth. What I noticed is that every time he got upset, the screen would get a little bit more staticky. It'd turn a little bit more black and white. And then when it turned to the normal, like normal color, like a normal film, there was no like anger or sadness or anything within his voice. And I picked up on that right away. I don't know if that was intentional, but if it was, that's awesome. That is incredibly fucking smart. I think it made the movie 10 times better because you can tell just by the way he talks what he's feeling and just by looking at just watching the TV, obviously. So, and when you watch the tapes. It is so fucking cool. And there were points within this movie, right, where they blended it so well with like real life events that I thought like this, I was like, this, there's no way this is not real. Like, I know it was fake, but I was like, this is so close to, there were points in certain things where I was like, did this really happen? Like, I know if you look up on Google how many active serial killers there are within the United States, it will say 25 to 50 at one time. Now, I don't know if this movie did really good research or if what they said is just what people say on Google and do that whole thing, because they said that word for word in the fucking movie. Not even kidding. And there were other points like that where I was like, did this actually happen? Like, they actually got an actor to play Ted Bundy to help when, because we all know that Ted Bundy was interviewed to help catch the Green River Killer. Yeah, the Green River Killer, I think is who it was. I could be wrong. They got him involved to try and help catch that killer. And he helped them out, right? And so it was, they actually did that. They put something similar to that. I've never seen that tape of like the real life of what happened, of the true accounts of Ted Bundy helping the police to catch the Green River Killer. I don't know. I've never seen those tapes. So I don't know if this specific scene was taken from that or if they just saw it and drew inspiration from it and kind of, you know, ran with it a little bit. So I don't know, but that was another part that I was like, did this really fucking happen? Like, what? But it is such an incredible movie. If you like true crime and you like documentaries, you need to watch this film. I watched it on Tubi. Tubi is a free streaming service and you do have to watch ads with the movies, but that's okay. Okay, the ads aren't terribly long, all right? They're like 20 seconds max, okay? I think you guys will live. But it is such a beautiful movie. It really, really is. And it's not even that long. It's only an hour and 26 minutes, right? And that hour and 26 flew by for me because I was enjoying it so much. This, I would rank, like I said earlier, this is in my top five. It's probably, there's X, trying to think, because I would say this is second, but I do have a lot of love for Insidious, okay? Because Insidious is what truly got me into watching horror movies when I was 10. When it released in 2010, that's what really, really got me into it. So, out of nostalgia, I would probably put Insidious at number 2, and then probably the Poughkeepsie Tapes at 3, a strong 3. Yeah, those are probably my top 3 for right now. I know it fluctuates and changes all the time, but that's a solid good 3 right there, I will say. That's a solid good 3. But right now, we are going to move into the inspiration behind this film. And we are actually going to go to our favorite person to find out what it is, ScreenRant.com. So shouts to you guys. I love you guys. You guys helped me out so much during this, so We're going to go through this. So there are, I'm going to roll through a few different things, okay? One of the things is why some people think the Poughkeepsie Tapes are real. And they say that there are two main reasons that people believe this movie is real. The first is that the crimes of Edward Carver, the Poughkeepsie serial killer, and the tapes he left behind don't seem that implausible. The investigation into the Poughkeepsie tapes uncovered 800 videotapes hidden in a basement, each one depicting one of Edward Carver's twisted crimes. Yes, he filmed all of his murders, from the most graphic to the most non-graphic. And as evidenced by the existence of Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, society has fascination with serial killers. So, I don't know why I said that. I thought it was going to make sense, and I realized it didn't. I don't think it made sense at all. But, okay, here we go. Sorry, this is going to be onto the second thing. The crimes of Edward Carver and the Poughkeepsie tapes may be on a larger scale, but they're comparable to Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy. Serial killers are also known to create mementos of their crimes, including videos like the titular Poughkeepsie tapes in John Eric Dahl's movie. For those unaware that the Poughkeepsie Tapes is entirely a work of fiction, there's little reason to write off the story of Edward Carver, the Poughkeepsie serial killer, as false. So, like I said, it is utterly terrifying watching these. Like, I didn't think this movie was going to mess me up. Like, I saw it and I was like, oh, this is gonna be really, really interesting. We're going to have to watch it and see, like, you know, because the description was pretty cool. Like, this dude, serial killer, goes around killing people, and he has this bunch of tapes. It's like, sweet. What else could go wrong? It went way darker than I thought it would ever have gone. Now, the inspiration for the Poughkeepsie tapes is influenced entirely by past serial killers and their crimes. Rather than a Poughkeepsie Tapes killer, as well as the exploitative contents of snuff films commonly depict obscene content, normally acts of real homicide. John Eric Dahl's marketing of the Poughkeepsie Tapes leaned into this narrative which further circulated the myth that the Poughkeepsie Tapes seen in the movie are real. The legend surrounding the Poughkeepsie Tapes' true story then resurfaced over a decade after the movie's 2007 release, thanks to social media. In November of 2020, Michael Goy's Megan is Missing went viral on TikTok, and along with it, so did the Poughkeepsie Tapes. Both found footage horror movies offered disturbing depictions of kidnapping, assault on women and children, as long as well as murder. We are going to have to watch Megan Is Missing because I haven't seen that before. So, clips from the Poughkeepsie tapes shown out of context fueled the legend that the Poughkeepsie tapes is a snuff movie, and many circulated that platform without any mention that the footage was from a film at all. While this is a testament to the skill shown by John Eric Dottle when creating the Poughkeepsie tapes, none of the footage is real. Only a few shreds of truth are used to create, admittedly, what is one of the most horrific, terrifying found footage movies so far. But Edward Carver's serial killer wasn't real. Now, the reason... Here we go. I found it. So the one real-life murders and criminal acts the Poughkeepsie tapes can be tied to are Kendall Francois's 10 murders, which took place from 1996 to 1998. Francis killed 10 sex workers. Despite the influence his crime may had, he never recorded them. The producers also took inspiration from Ted Bundy as well. I would do Kendall Francois as a Serial Killer Sunday episode, but we just were in New York a few weeks ago, so we will have to circle around back to that on like a later date, because I don't want to double up yet and make people feel left out and embarrassed and upset, okay? I don't want to be upset. I don't know why I said embarrassed, because nobody would be embarrassed, but I just don't want to make anybody upset, okay? I'm trying to be fair. Everybody gets one, and then we can go back through on the scale again from 1 to 50. So, but yeah, that is the inspiration behind this movie. They took it from Ted Bundy and who else? Kendall Francois. Now we are going to get into the Rotten Tomato reviews. The tomato meter gave it a 67%, which is pretty good. Okay. It's not great. I think it should be at least in the 70s or low 80s, but that's just me. Let me backtrack. One thing I will say about this film, acting, not that good. Okay. But if you watch closely and you kind of listen, it almost sounds like it was supposed to be intentional. Like they were making fun of these people that were being interviewed in documentaries. And it's kind of weird. Like I picked up on it because they're kind of like the shit that they say is kind of fucking stupid. And they look really, really awkward and they're just, you know, weird. So I feel it almost looked like he was intentionally trying to make fun of people that were actually being interviewed in real life documentaries. And if that's the case, that is also fucking brilliant. I loved that. I love that if that's true. But if it's not true, I mean, he fooled me. He really fooled me. Now, the audience score gave this a 51%. Our first review comes from Tony Black, and he works for The Cultural Conversation. And he says, a horrific gem, one of the great found footage pictures, and indeed the faux documentary genre. He rated it 4 out of 5. Our next review comes from Gabriel Ricard, and he works for, or she works for, Cultured Vultures. And they say, the Poughkeepsie Tapes isn't a classic, but it's an engaging horror mockumentary nonetheless. Okay, so I think it was intentional that he made them sound a little stupid. They rated it a 6 out of 10. Our next one comes from Federico Ferzan. He works for the Synalipsis, and he said, this is the definition of B-horror combined with found footage. Nightmare-inducing and undeniably creepy. In brackets, full review in Spanish. Well, I'll tell you something, Federico, I don't speak Spanish. He rated it 3.5 out of 4. Our last and final review comes from David Keyes, and he works for cinemafile.org. And he said, the movie thinks too diminutively. What the fuck is that word? This movie thinks too... I don't know. I'm not even going to try. You probably already know what I was talking about, but I'm not going to fucking say that word again because I don't know how to say it. Of human intelligence, even by horror film standards. He gave it a 2 out of 4 for the rating. We are going to actually do another one. This next one comes from Brian Orndorff, Blu-ray.com. And he said, with every revelation that could give the Doddles something to play with, they head right back into the basement, convinced audiences would rather watch close-ups of throat slitting and teary yelps of pain. He rated a D+. Well, I can tell you, Brian Orndorff, your review is shitty just like your last name. Get fucked, nerds. Okay, so that's going to do it for this episode. God, I hated that. I thought it was fucking great, okay? But then again, you got to think. These critics, they do this for a living, and 9 times out of 10, critics always rate something shitty if it's not, like, you know, great. Okay? To us, it doesn't fucking matter because we don't do it for a job, right? I wouldn't consider myself doing it for a job because I'm like, I have no film experience, so I don't fucking know, right? I think it's a great fucking movie. I didn't feel like I wasted my time watching it. I think it's genuinely good, okay? And if you want to come from the standpoint of true crime, I think it's really, really good. And I think the director did intentionally try to make this film, like, the actors made them, like, stupid intentionally just to make fun of people. So that's going to be it for today. It is 10:38 on a Sunday, still fucking snowing. It's crazy. Welcome to Minnesota. It gets cold like Minnesota, soda. I don't know. Sorry. Lil Yachty. But yeah, I'm going to let you guys go. I will see you guys on Thursday. No, Wednesday. Wednesday for short Reddit horror stories, and then I'll see you on Friday. I believe this week we're heading to Pennsylvania for Serial Killer Sunday, so that's going to be interesting and that's going to be fun. So I'll see you guys on Wednesday. Remember, stay frosty, stay foxy, and the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love y'all. Deuces.